Well, yes, it is a Thursday. Time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. And Brian getting ready for a rare non-conference game tonight in Lawrence against the Miners of UTEP. And since we last spoke, KU with the big win over the Baylor Bears and Kansas certainly looks to be, Brian, playing some of their best ball going into the most important time of the year.
Yeah, it really feels that way, and that's what you always hope to have be the case heading down the stretch. And obviously it's something the selection committee looks at, how you performed in your last 10 games. And KU has a chance, having won 6 of 7, to possibly have a great run in Kansas City, win the one tonight, and be able to say they won 10 of 11 to close it out. And it's kind of wild to think how much they were in control of that Texas game. Well, we'd really be talking about a team with a full head of steam. I mean, they jumped to 13th in the polls after beating Baylor. Wade, I think if they would have held on and won in Austin, they'd be in the top 10 right now. Mm-hmm. So for as bad as things looked and as low as it got in the minds of some Chicken Littles back in January when we dropped 5 and 7, my oh my, have they ever finished with a flurry.
Yeah, and you know, that Baylor game, and I think if everybody is being objective, we'll say, hey, Kansas played really well. Their defense was outstanding. They absolutely owned the glass. I thought the 50-50 balls pretty much went their way, and Bill Self says, you know, that's about effort and hustle many times. And Kansas, I felt like they were just certainly more engaged in that game, and there's no doubt that Baylor, I mean, if you go 20, 21, 22, 23 days between competitions, can't practice for a while, that's going to impact you. I don't care what level of whatever sport it may be. So that was a combination of the two. But still, for Kansas to go out there and play as well as they did against that caliber of a team who, obviously probably had a bit of an off night, that tells you that Kansas can really honestly – they can hang with about anybody in the country, and there is no pure dominant team. I keep hearing this, Gonzaga, and there's a flavor of the day, It's like Baylor's the flavor, and then all of a sudden they lose to Kansas. Oh, what's wrong with Baylor? Well, they had a long stoppage. And then, Michigan's the flavor of the day, and then they get rolled by Illinois, and Illinois is the flavor of the day. And then Gonzaga, well, they're really good, and they're dominant, but now they played all these teams in a conference that's inferior to all the big Power 5 conferences. So how good is Gonzaga, which we do that every single year, and we should know by now they're really, really good. We saw that early in the year against Kansas. What is your scope of things when you look at the national picture and look at the best teams in college basketball?
I think you're right on it, buddy. I think that as good as Gonzaga is, and they're going to go for an undefeated season, and as great as they looked up close and in person on back in November, anybody can be had on any given day. It's not like they're otherworldly. It's not like they're, the Kentucky team that's, was running at a 40-0 type pace at one point. It's not like they've got an Anthony Davis type player, go back to a different Kentucky team in 2012. It's to me a situation where, yes, they are absolutely a one seed, and yes, Baylor absolutely deserves one, too. And, Michigan's look good. There's a lot of Big Ten teams that I think could make some noise in the tournament. But I don't think there's anybody that you just feel like, oh, my goodness, if somebody upsets them, they'll have to have had a really tough day. Because I think we were starting to feel that way about Baylor and Gonzaga until the 3-week layoff for Baylor, and then they looked a little mortal versus Iowa State and obviously lost at Kansas. They then had some incredible shot-making to win at West Virginia and clinch their first conference title in 71 years. So they're still elite. But it's not a year where, a 4 seed just can't possibly beat a 1. That's the case most years where, once you get to the round of Sweet 16, anybody can beat anybody. And I think while teams like Baylor and Gonzaga, and at least a couple of the Big Ten, honestly, are good enough to avoid the upsets in the round of 32 on the 8-9 line, taking on a 1. I think anybody, once we get to that second weekend, this is a year where anybody can be had, even Gonzaga and Baylor included. So I'm encouraged to see a tournament that's wide open. And the thing about it for Kansas fans that's exciting is, if we play like we did the other night, we can beat anybody. The thing that's scary is, we could go out just as quickly.
Yes.
And so it's going to be a really tough postseason to forecast for the Jayhawks and for Kansas fans that like to start by filling out their brackets in the middle and then working their way back out, because they always put Kansas in the title game. It's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster in possibly getting that far, because This is a club that clearly is capable of knocking off just about anybody. But at the same time, you know, we've seen them offensively go into the deep freeze, and one bad night like that, no matter how good your defense is, and you might be going home. So it's going to be a really interesting 3 or 4 weeks, won't it?
Yeah, it will be, and I like a wide-open tournament. Of course, you'll say that if you don't have a dominant team, that you like the wide-open tournament. But we've seen wide-open tournaments before that have really bitten some really good teams, and Kansas has been bitten by that bug before in March in the NCAA tournament as well. I think the one thing, and I don't know if it carries over. We've talked about this many times before. I think it is a somewhat pointless discussion when people argue, you know, what conference is the best, you know, the Big Ten, the Big 12, whatever else. But I will say this. I do think that when you play, I think it's kind of obvious, when you play in a really good conference, that helps you going into the tournament. And we were just talking about this before we brought you on the air today, Brian, and Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency of Beloit. But when you look at the Big 12 standings and the way things kind of ebbed and flowed this year, you know, Baylor was atop all the way. And despite losing Kansas, they are the class of the league. And they're kind of like the Kansas of years past, where it's Kansas and everybody else in the Big 12. This year, Baylor's clearly the best team in the conference. But, you know, Kansas at one point was sitting tied for fifth, and now they're sitting in second place with their conference slate in the books at 12-6. West Virginia's been maybe one of the most consistent teams in regards to where they've been in the Big 12 standings. Oklahoma State's won 5 in a row. Now suddenly they're fourth in the Big 12, a chance to tie Kansas at 12-6. They are 10-6. At one point, they were eighth in the Big 12 standings. Texas looked to be everybody's darling after whipping Kansas. They were the second-best team in the Big 12, maybe could challenge Baylor. Now we look at them, and they're 9-6 in the Big 12, and they're in fifth place. And if they lose tonight, Oklahoma, they could possibly fall to seventh place. Texas Tech is a top 12 team, right? Remember, you and I were talking about that recently. Like, how are they ranked ahead of Kansas? And they're 8-7, and right now they're sitting in seventh place in the Big 12. And Oklahoma, who is ranked seventh very recently in the country, is sixth in the Big 12 at 9-7. So my point is that, you know, the Big 12 is eating upon each other. They're cannibalizing itself. And so there's been so much adjustment to the standings when you look at it week in and week out, because to me that tells you have a really solid and balanced Big 12 after Baylor.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I mean, I feel like we say this a lot of years, man, how good is Thursday in the quarterfinals in Kansas City going to be? But this year, for real, dude, we got seven teams that are in the top 20. So, I mean, truly, you know, Kate Cunningham makes Oklahoma State as dangerous as any team when he's going off like he did the other night in the Bedlam game. He's probably the Big 12 player of the year with the late season surge that he's made. Texas Tech with Chris Beard, man, I think they could beat anybody in the right matchup, too. And I'm talking Big 12 tournament right now, by the way. Oklahoma, I've never been as high on. I think that their schedule, yeah, they obviously won some big games in there, don't get me wrong, including beating us. But everything in the same regard that it kind of went against Kansas for a while there when we dropped 3 in a row and 5 of 7, they hit a pocket where things just kind of fell into place, and they zoomed up real high. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've heard the old story, flying too close to the sun gets your wings burned. Yeah. I think they got their wings burned a little bit at number 7. To me, it's a top 25 team, yes, but it's a back end of the top 25 team. And so I wouldn't expect them to be the team that wins in Kansas City. But if Baylor's just exhausted after, you know, 5 games in their last, you know, week and a half, and they don't have as much to play for, you know, after having already clinched the Big 12 regular season, any one of those other 6 ranked teams could make some serious noise. And I think probably 5 of them realistically could win it. West Virginia absolutely could. We know that. And I think Kansas clearly has as good a shot as any. The thing that hurts Kansas a little bit this year is everybody always, you know, says, oh, Jayhawks, they've got the home court advantage of the 18,000 that'll be there.
Yeah.
16,000 will be Kansas. Well, obviously, it's a fraction of a fraction that's going to be in the house this year, so you won't have nearly that same atmosphere. But I do think the thing that is working in KU's favor is Bill Self's got them wanting this thing more than they've ever had it, because again, you know, when you don't win it in the regular season, there's only 2 other ways to get a ring as a Jayhawk. You got to go to the Final Four, or you got to win the Big 12 tournament title. Sweet 16s, Elite 8s don't cut it. So I think the guys will be chomping at the bit and plenty motivated. But you know what? I think Baylor's motivation now will be more than what it would have been a week ago. because of the loss to Kansas and all that. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens in their other two games this week and where their mindset's at coming in. But to me, what a fun event to have that many teams that are all capable of beating each other, and to have that much, you know, on the line for some of these clubs that are trying to play their way onto the 3 line or the 4 line. I mean, we really could have a bracket where you've got, you know, Baylor as a 1 seed, but then, you know, West Virginia fighting for a 2 seed. Kansas could play as high as a 3. Right now, a 4 seed's more realistic, but could play as high as a 3. And then you got 3 or 4 other teams that are all, you know, trying to play on that 4-5 line. I mean, that's a pretty power-heavy Big 12 bracket for Selection Sunday. So I'd be fired up to see, you know, what it looks like should all those teams, you know, have good showings and at least make it to Friday. And they can't all make it to Friday, obviously. But the teams that are supposed to, you know, if they win one game in Kansas City, I think this sets up to have at least 4 teams, probably 5, that are 4 seeds or higher on Selection Sunday. And to be honest, Wade, I'm not sure we've ever had that.
I don't think so.
In 25 years of Big 12 basketball. So that's really exciting, too, when you think about what that could mean for the league's reputation heading in. Big 10 and Big 12, man, those are the teams I'm most encouraged to see come tournament time. And we always find out just how good you were based on who makes it to the second weekend. But looking at how good that Big 10 conference is, with Michigan at 2, Illinois at 4, Iowa at 5, Ohio State at 7, you know, even Wisconsin and Purdue need some consideration. It's going to be interesting to see which of these two leagues has the most representatives when we head to the second weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jacks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. One more thing about the Big 12 tournament, we'll talk more about, of course, next week. But, I mean, right now, if the season ended today, Brian, here's your matchups. You'd have Texas Tech against Iowa State, and you expect Tech would win that game, and then that would mean Kansas would be playing Texas Tech in the quarterfinals. And then you would have, let's see, Oklahoma right now would be playing West Virginia, and Oklahoma State would be playing Texas, and then Baylor would play TCU. That's the one that doesn't look, you know, as sexy, I guess. But, I mean, those are amazing matchups, and that's we're not even talking semifinals yet.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, when has a Thursday ticket in Kansas City ever felt as exciting as that?
Yikes.
So you're right. I mean, that's really cool. And you know what? Fans deserve that after having the tournament canceled a year ago. I'll never forget sitting next to Coach Self, getting set to tape pregame, and you know, having Sean Lester, our associate AD, walk in right as I'm about to ask my first question and say, hey, you might want to hold off on that. We could be getting a call here in the next few minutes if this thing's popped. And sure enough, they did. And so, you know, to have a year later, to have postseason basketball back of any kind is great.
Yeah.
But to have it be as exciting as this one's shaping up to be, I think our fans are certainly long overdue for something like that. So it should be a lot of fun.
It's hard to believe it's been a year. That seems just like the other day. I remember that very vividly, talking to you, because you were on right before we were planning. We were talking about the Big 12 tournament, and then a few hours later, that was it. We weren't gonna play.
Talked to you at 9:40, and I think I had to go down to breakfast at like 10:45 or something like that. It all crumbled within about an hour and a half after we hung up. And I remember having some hesitancy with you on the phone.
Yeah, me too.
About, you know, what was going on around the rest of the country, because you had the Big Ten playing on, and they were pulling kids off the floor.
Yep.
You know, in the middle of games and stuff. But we really didn't know, and that was the morning after Rudy Gobert had acted like an idiot and was, you know, rubbing his hands on all the reporters' microphones, mocking the threat of COVID the night before in the Utah Jazz game. And honestly, Wade, if that doesn't happen,
yes,
and he doesn't test positive right away, you don't have conference tournaments being canceled rapidly and then the NCAA overcorrecting and immediately canceling the NCAA tournament. It may have eventually been canceled a few days later,
right?
But when the NBA started shutting games down,
yep,
and you had the Rudy Gobert incident, that's when everybody had, you know, an immediate knee-jerk reaction. It ended up being probably the right thing, although I think if they really wanted to, and I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but if they really wanted to, they could have bubbled up in June or July with the top 16 teams and made $1 billion and still had a tournament of some sort. But the point is that night before, that Wednesday night, March the 11th, when Gobert did that, mm-hmm. and then you and I talking that next morning about, man, what's going on around the country right now? It's unreal how things snowballed in maybe a span of about 16 hours from that post-game media session mm-hmm. of the Utah Jazz to having everybody pack up their bags in Kansas City and head home. And by the time the bus got back to Lawrence, not just the Big 12 tournament was canceled, but March Madness was as well. And I'll remember that as long as I live.
I'll remember that as well, and I'll remember when the state basketball tournaments got canceled, and I remember coming back from covering Beloit. They had won their first round game, and my son, Miller, as you know him, was sitting with me, and I think I told you this story at the time, too, that we were coming back, and we stopped in Salina to grab something to eat, and he says, Dad, the Thunder game was postponed tonight against the Jazz, and I said, that's weird. Why? And then and a little bit later, he told me, and as soon as he told me, I said, son, that will be it. I said there will be no more state basketball. They did play the next day so that the everybody could get one game in. But I said we're not going to finish this tournament, and that was the last game we're called in this year. And I wish I was wrong, but that, I just knew it right away. And I kind of felt the same thing was going to happen with the Big 12 tournament as well, and all the other tournaments across the country. It did snowball, like you said. And the other thing that people do forget is that the Big 12 tournament, there were games played last year. People forget there were a couple games played. Remember that? Yeah. I mean, and there is some criticism about that. Well, should they even be playing a couple games? Well, they did. And then the joke was that I remember K-State fans joked, hey, we won our final game, so we win the Big 12 tournament, you know, things like that. It's easy to forget that we actually did start the tournament. It's just that it wasn't all the teams got to play. It was those four playing in the play-ins, as I call it.
Yep, no doubt. I mean, we still had our annual Big 12 broadcasters dinner on the Tuesday night. I have that photo, and I look at it, and I think, man, life was good on that night. Because we still thought, hey, regardless of what happens in Kansas City, we're going to be the number one overall national seed. Yeah. We're going to have some kind of tournament, even if we have to play with no fans. I mean, that was the big narrative at the time.
Sure.
You were asking me, what's it going to be like possibly calling a game next week with no fans?
Yep.
You know, and I'm talking about, man, Coach Self's going to hear everything we say. We better be careful,
yep.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we thought, even if that happened, there was no idea in the back of anyone's mind that the thing would get outright canceled. I mean, it's March Madness. But sure enough, man, it's crazy what it came to. But it just makes this year coming back all the more exciting. And yes, we'll always wonder what might have been. And Coach Self was even talking about that yesterday at his press conference about, you know, how he feels for that team a year ago. They never had a chance to go through, you know, a tournament month where they were the spotlighted team and getting the recognition and hype they deserved as the number one overall national seed. But hey, this is a group that's probably going to be a four seed, and they can make some noise and have some fun too. So let's embrace it, enjoy the ride, and be a little bit grateful that even in a supposed down year, as many were calling it, for Kansas this season, we're still looking at a four seed, maybe higher. If they finish out these next 10 days and stop.
Wouldn't every program in America love to have their down year be second place in the Big 12, possibly, and a 3 or 4 seed in the tournament? How spoiled are the Jayhawk fans, man? Holy cow. Okay, real quickly, thoughts on the game against UTEP, a game that was scheduled because K didn't have that long break, and they were the first one to get all their games in based on the schedule in the Big 12, 12-6, 18 games total. I know Bill Self said, we played the cut earlier, that you know he says that UTEP's a good team. They do some really good things.
They do. He was talking about the way they guard defensively, and they've got a sharpshooter named Sule Boom. And I'm going to be
nice
holding
name.
Back Boom Goes the Dynamite tonight. but he's a guy that's been scoring 22 a game over their last 10. He's 6'3 wing. He can light it up. So Marcus Garrett will probably lock in on him. And then I know you know this name from his Oklahoma days, but Jamal Bienemy is now on this team.
Oh, yes.
So they've got some guys, and, you know, they've won 4 in a row, 8-8 in their league. This is not some roll out the balls and just rock chalk up a victory type game. They scheduled this in part because of their availability with their conference tournament schedule, but also because while it's a game we expect to win, it's a game we'll be tested within and we'll be better having played. So, you know, you look at the personnel from an athlete standpoint, you have respect. You look at their head coach and you really have respect. And Bill and Coach Terry go back to when Coach Terry was at Texas. He was also at Baylor. I mean, he coached guys like Durant, T.J. Ford, and he's got a pretty strong, you know, Big 12 history, and so it was obvious that these guys would be a potential partner. We initially thought that we would look somewhere closer, like a UMKC or, you know, somebody within a 3 or 4 hour radius. But this one just made the most sense. And I think it's a game that if you win it, while you're not going to make any headlines nationally, it certainly doesn't hurt your resume either. And it looks like a quality schedule, you know, in terms of a game you could add late as opposed to adding some Division II school or something like that. So I think Coach Self and Sean Lester did a nice job with this one. And can't wait to see, you know, what Kansas looks like energy-wise coming out the gates. I talked to Christian Brown about that yesterday, and I said, listen, you guys just had the ultimate motivation game with an undefeated team that everybody's saying is going to win the national title and senior day and Marcus Garrett out in style. How do you get each other up for this next one? And he said, it's on all of us, you know, to bring it. And he said, it's still, you know, the type of game that if we don't bring it, we could lose. And then all this talk of momentum goes out the window. He's like, so we'll be sharp. He's like, but you're right. It's a natural letdown game. So it's going to be on all of us in a tight huddle to spur one another along in this one. So hopefully that'll be the case tonight. And hopefully it's a game where we play from out in front, avoid the slow starts that plagued this team at times over the last couple of months, and you know, remind these guys that you know, we're still Kansas. Here's the thing, and I think I referenced this last week with you. There weren't many teams or schools you could go out and schedule, Wade, that we had a losing record against. And this team we do. And it's two pretty historic losses.
Uh-huh.
1966, the JoJo White game back when they were Texas Western. If your younger listeners like Miller want a history lesson, watch the movie Glory Road, first African-American starting five all the way across the board. And to this day, Ted Owens believes that they would have won it all had they won that game in Lubbock and JoJo White not been ruled out of bounds on the big shot at the end. And then secondarily, I know you remember this because you and I are the same age.
Yes.
Oh, you remember those horrible jokes K-State fans would tell in March of 1992 when they wanted to make fun of their Jayhawk friends, and they'd say, how do you kill a Jayhawk? You tep on them.
Uh-huh.
Because UTEP had just taken us out in the second round of the NCAA tournament under Roy Williams, and it was a big surprise. And so, you know, two of the more memorable postseason exits are against UTEP. So this one tonight, even though Christian Brown and guys like Ochai don't care about that, historically there aren't many programs that we have a sub-500 record against. We are 1-3 all-time against UTEP. So we can't get it all back tonight, but let's at least chip away one on that deficit and see if we can keep this momentum rolling into next week.
Brian Haney providing the educational history. I love it. I love it. And I certainly remember that game, the one you talked about there in 92. Time for the off-the-wall question, Brian. Today is National Grammar Day. National Grammar Day. It's observed across the United States each year on March the 4th. The observance encourages the use of correct grammar in both verbal and written language. So the question to you is, what is an annoying grammar mistake that you hear or see? Like, you see it or you hear it and you're just, you cringe. And you're like, that's not right. And people, a lot of people do that. I'll give you my example. It drives me a little bit batty when I have people putting stuff out there saying, this game has been canceled and we will we reschedule it for a different date. It was not canceled. It was postponed.
Right.
If it was canceled, you don't play it at all. And it really, and there's athletic directors that I know and respect that do it, and many people that are even smarter than me that they'll say canceled and they'll say, we're looking for a makeup date. Well, it's not canceled until you can't come up with a makeup date. It's amazing to me how they get those words twisted around sometimes. So that's my answer.
you put me on the spot here. The only one I can think of, and this one makes me chuckle, and I'm not going to say who does it, but it's a pretty prominent Big 12 athlete or coach.
Okay.
And it's not Bell for Miles or something like that. It might not even be a Jayhawk, but it's pretty prominent, okay? And he always signs his autographs with, you're the best, Rock Chalk, and then he signs his name. But for all the times I've seen him sign autographs, so it could be a Texas Tech, could be in Kansas. I'm not outing the guy. I don't know.
Sure.
Those are my two spots. Every time I saw him, well, shoot, I guess I just said Rock Chalk, so you know it's a KU person.
Yeah.
But for all the times I've seen him sign their autograph, He might say guns up, wreck them, I don't know. but the your, and you're the best, is always Y-O-U-R, as opposed to, you know, Y-O-U-apostrophe-R-E, which would be the proper way of doing it. And every time I see that, I think, man, there's a grammatical mistake there on every single piece of memorabilia,
That's true.
Type of ball or picture it might be.
Yeah.
And but that cracks me up every time I see it. But I'm not out, and it might be a her. Who knows? it's somebody from the Big 12.
Well, I'm guessing it doesn't devalue the autograph, though. I don't think people are going to say,
no.
You know, it's worth $100 less because that's improper grammar.
But if he ever did right, it'd be worth even more because it would be a rarity compared to the grand scheme.
True.
Know?
Good point. I like that. And well, it's obviously it's a him. You said he a lot of, so I'm going to say it's a him and it's a Jayhawk person of some sort. I think we narrowed that part down anyway. That's funny stuff. I know. I think I've seen other people sign autographs that way too, to be honest with you. So I hear you.
I'll give you this much. It's a former player because we're with Round Ball Classic every year. So that narrows it down to about 80 different guys that come to Round Ball every year.
Okay, well, when we sign off here, I will investigate, see if I can narrow it down to the final four, put a list of their pictures in front of me like a mugshot, a lineup, and see if I can figure it out. Hey, man.
I have a buddy that has a signed helmet of a prominent NFL Jayhawk who misspelled rock chalk in the inscription on the autograph.
Oh, my.
And my buddy's like, does it make it worth more or less? And I said, I don't know, man, but it's definitely unique.
Yeah.
So, you never know, especially in the autograph game when they're writing fast. You never know.
There you go. So if anybody learned anything for the program today, you get an autograph, make sure you check it for grammar mistakes and misspellings, and perhaps you can get more out of it. Hey, man, appreciate all the time as always, and look forward to listening to you tonight on the broadcast against UTEP. And then next week we'll be talking Big 12 tournament. We look forward to it.
Sounds good. No, how do you kill a Jayhawk jokes tomorrow, all right?
Okay, all right.
We're burying that one in 1992.
That would be good. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you, pal.
Brian
Bye-bye.
Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701.